The third Sunday of Easter, in the year of our Lord, 2024. A reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. And as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened, and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Once again, the reading was from Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 49. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Yet, Jesus himself tells us that this isn't the end of the story. The evangelist Luke records this as the last teaching of Jesus in his gospel, when Jesus is gathered with his disciples on Easter evening. Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. So Jesus teaches that all of Scripture points to his suffering, death, and resurrection. But things don't stop there. Afterwards, there is the proclamation of repentance and forgiveness. In other words, there's still more work to do. But why is this the case? Are we saying that Christ's death and resurrection aren't enough? By no means. Instead, this is a distinction between the facts of salvation and the deliverance of salvation. That is, because of Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection, your salvation has been won. And since you have heard this truth and have Spirit-given faith in this truth, there's nothing more you need to do to receive salvation, forgiveness, and life. Yet the salvation Christ won by his death on the cross and resurrection on the third day is for the whole world. Unfortunately, as we heard in the epistle from 1 John, the world does not know God. And that's why there's still more work to do. Jesus desires that all nations, the whole world, receive the salvation he has won. And to do that, Jesus urges that we proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins through the facts of Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection so that salvation can be delivered to all nations. In fact, this proclamation of repentance and forgiveness of sins is really nothing new. Jesus himself gave this same proclamation when he began his public ministry and was rejected at Nazareth. There he stood up in the synagogue and read from the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And after reading this, then Jesus declared, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So in Nazareth, Jesus proclaimed the deliverance of salvation. He proclaimed good news to the poor and liberty, that is, release and forgiveness to the captives. And he could proclaim this because the facts of salvation, the truth that he had been sent by God the Father to fulfill this very prophecy from Isaiah, that truth had been fulfilled. The work Jesus urges us to do of proclaiming repentance and forgiveness of sins is simply the same proclamation Jesus gave from the beginning of his ministry. Before Jesus, even, John the Baptist gave this same proclamation. The evangelist Luke narrates that the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness, and he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. In this proclamation, John declared, "Bear fruits in keeping with repentance." And the evangelist Luke further narrates that with many other exhortations, John preached good news to the people. So even before Jesus' public ministry began, John the Baptist proclaimed repentance and forgiveness of sins. John did this because he was sent to prepare the way of the Lord and to prepare all people to see the salvation of God. That is, to prepare people to see the truth of God's salvation. And thus, our continuing proclamation of repentance and forgiveness of sins is simply the same proclamation as John the Baptist. And because our proclamation is the same as Jesus's and John the Baptist's, this makes our work easier. We don't have to proclaim something new. We just have to continue proclaiming what John the Baptist and Jesus have already proclaimed. And this proclamation is the truth, that through the work of Jesus on our behalf, we are led by the Spirit to repent of our sins and are given faith by the Spirit to believe that we have received forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. We are also not the first ones to continue this proclamation. In the Gospel reading, the first ones Jesus urges to proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins are the disciples. They're gathered together on that first Easter evening to be reassured of the truth of Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection. And because they are eyewitnesses of those truths, they are told to declare salvation, to proclaim repentance and forgiveness, beginning from Jerusalem. The evangelist Luke's second book, the Acts of the Apostles, goes on to narrate how the disciples made this proclamation, beginning in Jerusalem, extending into Judea and Samaria, and ultimately going out to the ends of the earth. Now today, we simply continue this proclamation in the ends of the earth in which God has sent us and placed us. Right here in the North State, we are continuing the proclamation of repentance and forgiveness of sins begun by the disciples in Jerusalem, based on the truth of Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection for the whole world. And not only is the proclamation we have to give the same as that of Jesus and John the Baptist, not only do we have the example and head start from the disciples, but also because Jesus gives us this work to do, he equips us to do his work, to continue proclaiming repentance and the forgiveness of sins. He equips us to do this work first and foremost by continually proclaiming to us repentance and forgiveness of sins through our pastors. Week after week, we gather on the Lord's Day to celebrate a mini Easter, to repent of our sins, and to hear from Jesus through a variety of means that your sins are forgiven and you will live forever. Week after week, Christ's salvation is delivered to you so that you can be strengthened and encouraged to in turn proclaim Christ's salvation to the world. Jesus also equips us to do his work by sending the promise of his Father upon us. This promise is none other than the Holy Spirit, who leads and guides us in the work Christ has given us to do. Through the Spirit, we are given faith to trust in Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection for our salvation. Through the Spirit, we are also given courage and the very words to proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins to the world. Through his Spirit working in us, Christ uses us to declare his salvation to others. In addition to the Holy Spirit, Christ equips us with his word. As with the disciples on that first Easter evening, he opens our minds to understand the scriptures. He continually teaches us how everything written about him in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled, and indeed was fulfilled in his life, death, resurrection, and ascension. By equipping us with his word, Christ teaches us the truth of his salvation from both the Old and New Testaments, so that we have faith in his substitutionary suffering, death, and resurrection. And when we have faith in the truth of Christ's salvation, we are strengthened to tell others of that salvation and proclaim to them repentance and forgiveness. And whenever we begin to doubt the truth of Christ's salvation, he shows us his crucified yet resurrected body to comfort and remove our troubles and doubts. On that first Easter evening, Jesus did this by showing his disciples his hands and feet, and then eating a piece of broiled fish with them. On the other hand, with us, every mini Easter, he shows us his body, in with and under the bread of Holy Communion. He shows us his blood, poured out for our forgiveness, in with and under the wine of Holy Communion. And he does not just eat with us, but he feeds us with a feast of his own body and blood to show us the truth of his salvation, to deliver to us his salvation, and to proclaim to us forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. Week after week, Christ equips us by means of his supper to do his work and proclaim repentance and forgiveness to all nations. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, 2 weeks ago on Easter, you heard how salvation was won for you through the truth of Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection. Last week, you heard how salvation, including forgiveness and everlasting life, is delivered to you, just as it was delivered to the disciple Thomas, in the many means that Christ uses to help you see him. And now today, you've heard that there's still work to do. For Christ has equipped you to declare his salvation to others by proclaiming repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Easter indeed changes everything. So now may God the Father, may Christ his Son, and may his Holy Spirit, together the great I Am, be with you as you continue to do the work of Easter. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. To Christ be all the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we continue by confessing our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. God's richest blessings to you this weekend, this week ahead, and all throughout the season of Easter.